Radio Prague News.
Some civic democrats are calling on Mirek Topolánek to step down as leader if his latest attempt to form a government fails. Czech soldiers returning from Iraq say their replacements will be working in more dangerous conditions. And goalkeeper Petr Cech could make a return to competitive football as soon as January 20th. A number of Civic Democratic Party regional organizations are calling on Mirek Topolánek to step down as leader if his latest attempt to form a government fails. Prime Minister Topolánek has signed a coalition deal with the Christian Democrats and the Greens. The same three parties failed a vote of confidence in October. They would need the support of at least one left-wing rebel to pass a confidence vote. Prague Mayor Pavel Bém, first deputy chairman of the Civic Democrats, said Mr. Topolánek should allow somebody else to try to form a government if the proposed coalition fails again. Mr. Topolánek on Wednesday apologized for publicly criticizing several senior party figures, including Mr. Bém, President Václav Klaus, and outgoing Finance Minister Vlastimil Trustý. Czech soldiers returning from Iraq say their replacements will be working in more dangerous conditions. Almost 40 Czech military police officers returned to Prague on Thursday, completing a tour of duty which began in December 2003. Their commander, Ladislav Tvrdí, said that while his officers had trained Iraqi police on bases, the next Czech contingent will have to accompany the Iraqis between stations, putting themselves at increased danger. Police are investigating the shooting dead of a businessman in Přerov, northern Moravia. The man, who was 39, died after being hit several times by an unknown assailant using a machine gun, police said. Almost 65% of Czechs are opposed to the idea of a United States military defense base being built in the Czech Republic, suggests an opinion poll commissioned by the Foreign Ministry in December and quoted in Mladá Fronta Dnes on Thursday. The US is set to decide in the early part of this year whether to build the site in the Czech Republic or Poland. Temperatures in the Czech Republic in 2006 were 0.6 degrees Celsius higher than the average over the last 30 years, according to figures released on Thursday by the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute. It was the ninth warmest year since 1775, when the weather station at Prague's Klementinum began keeping records. Sport and Czech goalkeeper Petr Cech could make a return to competitive football as soon as January 20th. He's been out of action since sustaining a skull fracture in October. Cech had been expected to return in mid-February, but the manager of his club Chelsea, Jose Mourinho, says the Pilsen-born star needs to return as soon as possible after a run of poor results for the club. The weather, it should be cloudy and wet over the next few days, with temperatures of up to 10 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. That's the end of the news.
This is Colin O'Connor, and you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Today, a crisis looms in the Civic Democrats as the country's political stalemate continues. A new law on domestic violence means serial abusers can now be booted out of their own homes. 1 year after the introduction of a smoking law, anti-smoking lobbyists say it's not enough. And this week marks the anniversary of the end of Prague time. Later, we talk to researchers in the South Pole in today's Czech Science. Stay tuned for more. Last June, Mirek Topolánek was the toast of the right-wing Civic Democrat Party. The man who led his party to 6 election victories had triumphed in a general election, and after 8 long years in the opposition benches, his Civic Democrats were ready to take over the reins of power. 7 long months later, the country lacks a stable government, the Prime Minister is seen as a failure, and his party is racked by internal conflict. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
The 7 months of futile negotiations have undermined the Prime Minister's position both within his party and on the Czech political scene. At a stormy party meeting on Wednesday, senior members of the party leadership warned Mr. Topolánek that his second attempt at forming a government would be his last. If his coalition government failed to win a vote of confidence yet again, he should take a back seat and let someone else lead the negotiations. Political analyst Vladimír Dvořáková says that Mr. Topolánek's failure to capitalize on the party's election victory has sown internal strife, and the Prime Minister is now fighting for political survival.
I would say that the Democratic Party is weakened. In fact, there was not a real unity for all the period, but before, all the internal disputes were discussed inside the party. And now I would say it's the first time when there is open criticism of the politics of Mr. Topolánek and of his further steps. And mainly this is connected with the fact that president is very strongly unsatisfied with the new cabinet, how it was proposed. And president has a strong position inside ODS and is supported by part of that party.
The Prime Minister's second attempt at forming a cabinet is not going well. President Klaus has criticised both its lineup and the fact that Mr. Topolánek had not managed to secure majority support for it in the lower house. Although he is bound by the constitution to appoint whatever cabinet the Prime Minister proposes, the President has not said when he would do so. The delay is a silent rebuke, and the Prime Minister's main rival, Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek, has been quick to act on it. He has once again proposed a grand coalition with the Civic Democrats, but with someone other than Mirek Topolánek. The fact that the President was ready to receive him to hear out this proposal is another slap in the face for the Czech Prime Minister.
And that report was brought to you by Daniela Lazarova. Now, a new law came into effect here at the start of this year, which aims to tackle the problem of domestic violence. Under the new legislation, police have greater powers to intervene in violent domestic disputes, which means that they can now order people out of their own homes if they have abused their partner. So far, two men who abused their girlfriends or wives have been temporarily banished from where they live by the Czech police. Ilya Maritz has more.
So far in 2007, two men have been made to quit their homes after beating their wives or girlfriends. In the case of a 30-year-old man from the Chomutov region, police say the abuser became drunken and belligerent in the early hours of January 1st. After the couple returned to their home from a New Year's celebration, the man began destroying furniture and threatening to kill his girlfriend. Fearing for her life, she left the flat and ran into the hallway. Concerned neighbors called law enforcement, and the police expelled the man from the apartment. He won't be allowed back for a period of 10 days.
It was very early in the morning when the law was applied for the first time, so I'm very happy that police is taking it seriously and is trying to really apply this law.
Branislava Vargova is a psychologist working at ROSA, a support service organization for female victims of domestic violence. She says that in the 10 days during which the perpetrator is expelled from the dwelling, the victim should get support from her nearest regional intervention center. Under the new law, each of the Czech Republic's 13 regions will have one such office. In the case of the woman near Chomutov, the intervention center in Ústí nad Labem reported that it did contact the victim and offered help. She declined, saying that she had made the decision, with her children, to let the man who beat her back into their home. That won't happen in every case, says Branislava Vargova.
The victim, during those 10 days, can ask the court to file a proposal for prolonging the period of expulsion. So this period of 10 days can be prolonged by court maximally up to 1 year.
This law, which is based on a similar measure in Austria, gives wide discretion to the police, making them, and not the courts, a victim's first resource. Vargova believes the law can and will be applied fairly.
It's not sufficient just to call police. According to the law, the expulsion of perpetrator should be done if there is ongoing or long-term violence. And also the life or the psychology of the victim should be endangered. by some threats or something. So it's very much on the decision of the police or policemen who will be on the place if they would know that in this family the violence is going on for a long time, it's not the first case and the perpetrator is dangerous.
Branislava Vargova ending that report by Ilya Maritz. Now, this time last year, a new smoking law went into effect, which banned smoking in public places such as cinemas, schools and bus and tram stops. But is this enough to bring down the number of smoke-related illnesses? Today, 1 year after the law was introduced, Czech anti-smoking lobbyists say it isn't. But it would still be a step in the right direction if the state ensured that the current law was actually respected. Dita Asiedu reports.
Between 50 and 60 people die of smoking-related diseases every day in the Czech Republic. An estimated 2 million of the country's population of 10 million are smokers, with 800,000 of these under the age of 18. But the rest of the population who don't smoke are also at risk from the effects of smoking. In a bar or restaurant, the smoke inhaled by a passive smoker is often even more hazardous than that inhaled directly by smokers, says Eva Králíková, one of the country's leading experts on smoking-related illnesses.
Passive smoking is not about bothering someone with some bad smell, but it's danger to health. The sidestream smoke is more concentrated than the mainstream smoke, which inhales the smoker. It's because of the temperature of burning. If the cigarette is in the ashtray, it's really health threat. American Cardiologic Society said that one of the most important publications in 2005 was the fact that the risk of passive smoking is almost as big or as large as the risk of active smoking. It's 80-90%.
Czech anti-smoking lobbyists point out that the country lacks an effective control system. They say health risks would be reduced significantly if people were forced to respect the law. A public place is also a concert or a football game. Here, the law is still being broken. Dr. Králíková.
We should inform the population why it is good to have some smoke-free policy. For example, in Ireland, when they adopted the smoke-free legislation in 2004, they hired 30 persons at the Ministry of Health just for the purpose of explaining why smoke-free legislation is good for Ireland. If we count the number of inhabitants in Czech Republic, we should have 70 people at our Ministry of Health just for explaining to the population why we should have smoke-free legislation. There is no one person, not 70, but no one person at the Czech Ministry of Health who should take care about tobacco control.
There have been numerous attempts by individual members of parliament to introduce a stricter smoking law, but they all failed at rallying up enough support from their colleagues. This year, a Civic Democrat MP hopes to push through a law that requires restaurants to separate smoking from no-smoking sections with a wall. Whether his attempt will be successful has yet to be seen. Some say the country lacks stricter smoke-free legislation because of a strong tobacco lobby. Others believe the country's large number of deputies who are smokers themselves are to blame.
Dita Asiedu with that report. Now, as everyone knows, the Czech Republic, like most EU countries, uses Central European time. But few people know that until 1912, the Czech capital Prague had its own time zone. The so-called Prague time was 2 minutes and 18 seconds behind the rest of Central Europe. The clocks were finally synchronised 95 years ago this week. Pavla Horáková has this report.
I'm standing in the courtyard of Prague's historic Klementinum Library. This is where Prague time used to be measured, just a few meters away from the Prague Meridian, which you can see to this day marked in the paving on the old town square. Once the shadow of the column dedicated to Virgin Mary fell on the meridian at noon, the senior timekeeper here in the observation tower of Klementinum waved a flag. At that instance, all the clock keepers on Prague's towers synchronized their clockworks. Libuše Piherová of the Klementinum Library told me about the details of the history of timekeeping at the institution.
Klementinum je bývalá jezuitská kolej. Jezuita jsem přišel v roce 1556.
Clementinum is a former Jesuit college where many learned men used to live and work. Local astronomers used to measure time here, specifically the Prague noon. In the so-called Meridian Hall on the Astronomical Tower, there is a cord which physically represents the Prague Meridian. When a sunbeam entering the hall hit the cord, the monk on duty in the room sent a signal upstairs, and another one on the top floor waved a flag.
Besides the waving, which started in 1842, another time signal was added in 1891, a gunshot at midday from the ramparts on Letná and later near Prague Castle. After the so-called Prague time was finally abolished on January 1, 1912, the waving continued, although the Prague noon was adjusted to Central European time.
S tím máváním se přestalo zhruba v roce 1926.
The flag waving was finally abandoned in about 1926, but even in modern days, Clementinum was an important timekeeping institution. There was a very accurate clock here, whose signal was transmitted on the waves of the Radio Journal station, which started broadcasting in the 1920s.
Zvuk o něch přesných hodin, které tady byly.
Today, time measurement is a task for physicists rather than astronomers. At present, precise time in Prague is measured by an atomic clock located at the Institute of Radio Engineering and Electronics in the north of the city. Since 1969, the country's central clock has been coordinated with Universal Time. The official title of the time is UTCTP, or Universal Time Coordinated Tempus Pragense, and this is identical to Central European Time.
The North and South Poles are not exactly the world's most popular destinations for tourists, but their rich mineral deposits and unspoiled environments make them a good send for scientists. A number of Czech researchers will be going to these remote outposts in the coming months as part of the International Polar Year, which is dedicated to coordinated polar research. This project will actually last a full 2 years, starting from March 2007, until March 2009, and many Czech scientists from different fields will be participating in the studies. Pavla Horáková has more details in this week's Czech Science.
The bleak wasteland of the Svalbard archipelago in the Arctic Ocean is now home to Czech researchers who are examining glaciers in the region and studying how they are affected by rising temperatures. On Boxing Day, another Czech team left for James Ross Island off the southernmost tip of South America, right across the globe. In recent years, Radio Prague regularly reported on progress in the construction of the first Czech permanent polar station on the island. Building work finished a year ago, and last week, at last, a team of Czech experts left for Antarctica to spend 2 months doing research during the favorable conditions of the Antarctic summer. Well, a strange summer by our standards.
Převládá tam zatažené počasí, větrno, pokud je o sněžení.
As far as the weather is concerned, it is mostly overcast and windy. As for snow, there is not much of it. Every now and then, an Antarctic blizzard comes and keeps you locked in for 4 or 5 days, and you can't even stick your nose out.
Doma a nevystrčíte nos.
Professor Pavel Prošek from Masaryk University in Brno heads the team of Czech researchers who are now on their way to James Ross Island via Chile, Patagonia and Seymour Island. The university spent 6 years building the polar station financed by the Czech Education Ministry. The construction costs 60 million crowns, and the operation costs are expected to reach 10 million crowns a year. The station has been named after the 19th century Augustinian abbot Gregor Johann Mendel, dubbed the father of genetics, who carried out his research in the city of Brno. The island is a relic of a 10-million-year-old volcano, and no research has been conducted there so far. The Czech team includes specialists in geology and geography, biology and climate science. One of the team members is geologist Petr Miksa.
V Antarktidě jsme dost závislí na počasí. Čekáme na dny, kdy...
In Antarctica, we are very dependent on the weather. We wait for days when there is no snow. If the snow falls, geologists cannot work because we need to see the rocks. You can find fossil seashells, petrified wood, and we believe one of the prime reasons why the sites are so rich is that people have not had time to exhaust them.
Bohatá je, že tam člověk ještě neměl čas to vyzbírat.
Provided the ground is not covered with snow, Antarctica is an ideal place for geologists because there is no vegetation, nothing that would stand in the way, and all the rocks and geological structures are visible. Another subject the scientists will focus on are the effects of global warming in Antarctica. Geologist Pavel Prošek describes the area in terms of climate.
To je část Antarktidy, která je klimaticky mírnější, je pod vlivem Jižního oceánu. Má také daleko větší.
It is a part of Antarctica where the climate is more moderate. It is under the influence of the Southern Ocean. There is more precipitation and higher temperatures than in the continental part. The summer temperatures hover around 0 degrees Celsius. Winter temperatures fall to lows of -30 to -35 degrees, which is favorable for us, but it is also favorable for living organisms because life in central Antarctica practically doesn't exist.
Protože život v centrální Antarktidě prakticky neexistuje.
On the island, however, some simple life does exist. The Czech team will also study Antarctic vegetation, for example, algae, mosses and lichens, which grow in areas where glaciers have receded owing to increased temperatures. Botanist Jiří Komárek of the Botanical Institute has been to Antarctica before and told Radio Prague that the effects of global warming in the South Polar region were quite obvious.
Byl jsem dvakrát na té polské stanici Henryk Arctowski. Tam je hned kousek za
stanici. I stayed and worked twice on Poland's base, and right behind it there was a glacier which receded over 2 years. You can directly see the effects of global warming. Regarding James Ross Island, decades ago it was joined by ice to the rest of Antarctica, with ice covering Prince Gustav Channel. But the ice has disappeared. Now there's a regular body of water which you can navigate in the summer months.
Tam je volná voda, aspoň teda v letním období.
As far as polar vegetation is concerned, the team will also be looking into how the simple plants are adapting to increased doses of UV radiation, the result of the depletion or hole in the ozone layer in the polar regions. And how do the researchers themselves cope with high doses of UV? Pavel Prošek again.
Ozonová díra, to je záležitost, která je kalendářně dost přesně definovaná. My tam budeme už vlastně mimo.
The ozone hole is quite precisely defined in terms of time. We will be there outside the culmination of the ozone hole, which doesn't mean that there cannot be serious doses of UV. We will concentrate on how UV rays are influenced by the atmosphere, the role of the clouds, the types of clouds, and so on. We carried out measurements, and we have counted how long it takes to get sunburned. Sometimes 20 minutes in the sun is enough to get badly sunburned.
Nebezpečně spálíte, když to řeknu lidově, na slunci po 20 minutách pobytu.
Glaciers on both the Earth's poles have been attracting a lot of attention recently in connection with global warming, and they are an important area of research for the Czech team on James Ross Island as well. Pavel Prošek again.
Pracujeme na ledovci a zjišťujeme, jestli jsou nějaké vazby mezi energetickým hospodařením.
We're working on the glacier and examining whether there are some links between the energy management of the glacier and its mass. That is, whether it is receding or, on the contrary, expanding, and how these two factors affect each other.
A jak tyhle ty dva faktory se vzájemně ovlivňují.
Hearing the word Antarctica, some of us may think of the early 20th century explorers who risked their lives and endured hardships during their quests. Pavel Prošek says it is nothing like that these days.
Prostě hrdinství se dneska v Antarktidě už nepěstuje, aspoň teda v oblasti vědeckého světa.
There is no heroism present in Antarctica, at least not in the area of science. We are not conquering anything, we don't need to get the deepest, the highest, or the furthest. We just do our job, and thank God our work is not dull.
Práci a pánbu zaplať, ta práce tam není všední.
The Czech expedition finally set off for Antarctica 46 years after Czechoslovakia first signed the Antarctic Treaty, which prohibits military activities and mineral mining, supports scientific research and protects the continent's environment. The Czech permanent base on James Ross Island is expected to serve researchers for another 20 to 30 years.
That edition of Czech Science by Pavla Horáková brings us to the end of today's program. Remember, if you feel like commenting on anything you've heard today, or if you have any queries for us, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic, or send an email to english@radio.cz. That's english@radio.cz. That's all we have for you today. From myself, Colin O'Connor, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and take care.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.